I think that you should be doing something fun, like doing fencing, like get the swords out. And it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, it's like I was defeated here. And, you know, good job, Brian. That worked out pretty well. Our daughter's been talking about, you know, if she meets somebody that she's going to marry, she wants to have knife throwing at the wedding. I know if you know our family, we're just oddballs. But that's pretty funny if there was a healthy competition there with something like that. But if it's a board game, if you're just doing a little bit of basketball, just things like that, like William and Kate competing on those exercise bikes, right? You know, it's just to just encourage each other. And a lot of times you're just pushing each other to be better.
You may be one choice away from a thriving marriage. Welcome to the Operation Thriving Marriage podcast with Brian and Jennifer Harvey.
So guys, thanks again for tuning in to the Operation Thriving Marriage podcast. Brian here sitting down with Jen. Sweetheart, how competitive do you think you are?
It depends on what it is. I mean, you know that I won't play board games because I don't want to get all amped up about it. So kind of staying away from that piece of things, right?
So yeah, so Jen, as an attorney, competition is part of the job, right? When you go to a trial, I mean, you're trying to represent your client, but you want to win.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And win handily. And I can even beat myself up because it's like, okay, I got a settlement of, you know, say $100,000, and I'm looking at it even after it happens. And even though that I know objectively this was a great settlement, or I got more than maybe we should have gotten, but I'm just like, ugh, you know, could have I gotten 105? Could have I gotten 110, right?
Right. Yeah. Growing up, we played board games a lot. And so I'm competitive in the sense that I enjoy competition, but I don't get too angry when I don't win, because it's more about the experience during than the output. And, you know, competition, you know, Americans, we compete over everything. And then when you get in the military, that's a whole different level of competition.
Sure.
We will compete over some really, really stupid things. One of my favorites isn't one that I did, but my dad shared a story of after the Gulf War was over, they were bored. And so they had competition. There was this chemical called Snip, and it was a fly control agent, right? It was this powder, you put it in water, the flies came, drank the water, and it killed the flies. Because if you've never been in the desert, so many flies, I mean, you're waving the flies off your plate and your neighbor's plate while they're taking a bite. They're just everywhere. And so they had these guys had a competition over who could catch the most flies in their Snip trap. Was it better to have a deeper puddle, a wider puddle? How much?
Sure.
Competition. And one of the great things, there's a book, Out of the Box, I think is the name of the book. I'll put it in the show notes because I can't remember the author right now. He's a Vietnam vet that survived the Hanoi Hilton, was a POW for a number of years. And one of the things he talked about is how competition kept the POWs alive and healthy, because they would compete over he and the guy in the box next to him, literally a box where they couldn't stand up in. And they would have competitions over who would do more push-ups.
Sure.
And they kept going back and forth, and it was one of those. And then push-ups got boring, so then they started doing sit-ups. They were doing everything they could to compete, because competition pushes you to be better.
Got to do something.
And competition in marriage can be an interesting thing. I was reading this article, and I think I've got the link. I don't, but I'll try to find the link and put it in the show notes.
Okay.
So, William and Kate.
Oh, interesting, because I know you've never been like, oh, British family, right?
No,
so,
I mean,
British royal family, but, you know, tell us about it.
So, yeah, so first of all of you British citizens who love your royal family, you guys are awesome. You guys are wonderful. We Americans fought a war, so we wouldn't have to have a king anymore.
Oh, so I love the British royal family. Oh, my goodness.
So I get confused by people who are so excited, but this was an interesting story. So William and Kate were out, and I apologize if I'm being rude saying their first names. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I just don't know what the proper thing is. So William and Kate, anyway.
FK and FQ, like future king and future queen? Probably not. But anyway.
I don't know.
Prince William.
The two royal people that have the names William and Kate. Anyway, you guys who are British are laughing or groaning. I'm sorry. Anyway, they were out doing this tour of just doing the normal royal family stuff. And they were in a town, and I guess it was a new gym had opened up.
Mm-hmm.
And they were there, and they both did, they got on the stationary bikes and they were competing against each other.
So cute.
And so, and you could tell by how hard they were breathing. I mean, they were leaning into it, standing up, and they were cycling and cycling, cycling, competing. And they were aggressively competing against each other. And exhausted at the end, and Kate won.
Exhausted at the end, it's like, okay, both of you, welcome to getting to middle age. Thank you very much.
But Kate won, and you could tell, I mean, that William was, you know, well, darn, I lost. But she patted him on the shoulder. It was a positive thing.
It was cute.
She was still, she was going to win. You know, she was working hard to win, but it wasn't a negative thing where she felt like, I'm superior. He didn't feel inferior.
Oh,
it was
sure.
just this fun experience. So the article contrasted this with King Charles now, though when he was married to Diana, mm-hmm. there was this event where he plays, I believe it's the cello, and she was a pianist. And she had played better than him.
Mm.
She had just, she'd done a better piece. You know, maybe she practiced harder. Maybe she just enjoyed the piano more than he enjoyed the cello. I don't know. But the person writing the article pointed out how you could tell that he was upset that she beat him.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, unfortunately, their relationship, he was always a little jealous of her because she was warm and friendly and beautiful, and people paid more attention to her than to him. And so with William and Kate, the competition is healthy. It's mm-hmm. fun. Between Charles and Diana, it was something different and created a rift in their relationship, and it made him less happy in their relationship when she won. See, here's the thing. Competition can lead to conflict in marriage.
Which is just too bad. But that's true because I think for a couple of reasons, I think that competitive people can place personal value on winning. And it's all about winning. It's not about the other spouse. And I think another thing is that competition can highlight some individual insecurities that can then lead to negative feelings because of what you were highlighting on that example of then Prince Charles in relating to his then wife, Princess Diana, is it sounds like he was building up some resentment because, of course, we've heard some other similar stories as to that he didn't want her taking away his limelight practically, but she really could have been, and I think was a huge asset to him, even though he never understood or acknowledged or accepted that.
Right. And we've even talked about different couples. I mean, we've had people talk about, what about competition in marriage? And I feel like I'm competing with my spouse. And anytime competition is leading to something where you feel less than in mm-hmm. the marriage, or you feel like you need to bring your spouse down because they are overwhelming or overcoming you, or in some way you're not seeing this as a team marriage. You're seeing it as one of us needs to be better than the other. That's not healthy, and that's going to long term build some really negative feelings and probably lead to negative actions if not well controlled in the marriage.
Yeah, I just hate that any couple would see it as we're competing against each other in this kind of a negative way, like a winner take all, or somehow that if your spouse wins at something or does well at something, that you're losing. Because I think it's when one is winning, the other one is winning. That's how the relationship should be.
Absolutely. So at the same time, competition in general is a very good thing because competition pushes people to reach past where they thought they could go.
Mm-hmm.
And so in marriage, we need to think through how can we be competitive in the relationship without creating conflict or frustration in the marriage.
And avoiding that competition altogether, I think you could be missing out on some positive things.
Yeah. I mean, some couples choose that, you know what, we're just not going to compete because we don't want the conflict.
So no competition, no conflict.
But merely avoiding conflict isn't going to lead to a thriving marriage.
And well, sure.
Avoiding competition for the sake of avoiding conflict, competitive people are separating from a significant aspect of who they are. It's okay to be competitive. There's nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, your competitiveness has probably gotten you places it wouldn't have. if you weren't competitive, whoever's listening to this, you know, competitive people should not remove that competition, nor should you try to. I mean, part of what attracted to you to your spouse originally was part of their competitiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they were an athlete, maybe they, whatever it was, and you saw them striving and succeeding was attractive.
Because they're trying to be better, they're trying to do a good job, and that work ethic and that idea of I want to stand out, I want to be the best in a healthy way, that can be just a wonderful quality for someone to have.
Yeah, so you could just say we're not going to compete, but that's probably not the best. I think what's better is learning to compete in healthy ways.
Sure.
Yeah, and that starts with just letting go of your ego. The root of sin is selfishness.
Always.
It is that it started out with Adam and Eve wanting to be like God, and it's continued on. It's like, okay, I want to be the focus of my own universe. And to have healthy competition, you have to accept that sometimes I'm going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And the best athletes, athletics obviously is the most obvious example of competition in our culture. The best athletes hate losing, but they use that to push themselves to be better. It's one of those, the best athletes never blame the refs for losing a game. The best athletes, the best coaches say, I should have never been in a position where the ref could take the game from me.
True.
If I'd played better, if I'd worked harder, if our team had done better, then that call wouldn't have mattered because we would have been up so many points earlier in the game, or we would have been able to overcome that later if it was an early call early in the game. The best athletes never blame the refs because they let go of their ego.
Are you listening, Detroit Lions fans, from, you know, some games ago earlier on in the season there? That was a hard one, but you know, you're absolutely right on that. And I think another way to compete in healthy ways is you celebrate your spouse after you've been defeated by your spouse, because it's like, you know, I think that you should be doing something fun, like doing fencing, like get the swords out. And it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, it's like I was defeated here, and, you know, good job, Brian. That worked out pretty well. Our daughter's been talking about, you know, if she meets somebody that she's going to marry, she wants to have knife throwing at the wedding. I know if you know our family, we're just oddballs, but that's pretty funny if there was a healthy competition there with something like that. But if it's a board game, if you're just doing a little bit of basketball, just things like that, like William and Kate competing on those exercise bikes, right? You know, it's just to encourage each other. And a lot of times you're just pushing each other to be better.
And that is a great example of William and Kate, because he was proud of his wife.
Oh, and we love that.
You know, and you could tell, I mean, hey, good job. And something else, Kate was gracious. I mean, she won. She mm-hmm. was happy she won. She wanted to win. But that's something, you need to be gracious when you win.
Yeah, she didn't stick that to him.
Absolutely.
That and would have been a different article then, right?
It would have been a different article, yeah. And we wouldn't be using it for this story either. It's like, you need to be gracious. And that's something that, you know, when I've been involved with sports with our son, that's one of the things that we teach, right? Good coaches, good sportsmanship is taught. It's like, hey, act like you've been there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that when I'm talking to people, it's like, act like you've been there. This is not, you should not be surprised that you won. Act like you've been there and be gracious about it. Hey, the good game. The funny thing now is kids, because they play video games so much, listening when our son used to play baseball and I'd listen to the handshake at the end, it wasn't good game, good game, good game. It was GG, 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 because that's what they type in text, is just GG instead of good game. But you need to be gracious when you win and be gracious to your spouse. Don't gloat. Don't shove it in their face. Just say, hey, you know, good job.
Yeah. And I did want to make a minor note here on trash talking. Now, there are some people where trash talking is their love language. And if something like that is fun for you and your spouse, make sure you're not taking it too far. You know, make sure that you're within boundaries that are approved by the two of you. But if trash talking is fun for you, that's okay. But just make sure that it's mutual and it's mutually okay.
And yeah, don't be mean.
Right.
Yeah. So, but also compete over the right things. You know, so some good things, like if you guys work out together, you know, competing over personal records, personal bests.
Yeah, that's fun. And also, side note, women are probably going to win more in leg strength, and men are probably going to to win more when you're dealing with upper body stuff, because that's just how we're designed. So I know any of the women listening to this, they're going to be challenging their husband to, you know, something having to do with lower body stuff. But you know, that's just some things to keep in mind, just because we're different. We're built different.
That, or remember too, is like, don't compete over who's lifting the most weight. Compete over who's getting a personal best.
Sure.
You know, so, okay, if your personal, you just beat your personal record. Well, hey, I beat my personal record 2 days ago. I'm ahead of you. Oh, so you've got to get, you know, focus on personal records. But yeah, so at the gym, games, you know, now obviously we've talked about in our house, we don't play board games. But board games, basketball, feel free to get on the bicycles and race, or get out in the water on a paddle boat. And those are horrible. No one's any good at paddle boating. So that's a great thing to race on, because you're both just going to be exhausted at the end of it. But you're going to have a good time. Get out there, find things, or compete over who can get the most chores done in the house the fastest.
Oh, kind of love that.
You know, or things like that. Those are the things that are going to bring positive. But there are some things that you should never compete about.
Yeah. And Brian, you bring that up. And I think that that's a really good point, because some of that has to do with your kids' affection. Do not be vying to be the quote unquote favorite parent. Oh, my goodness, that can just cause such a wedge in your marriage, and also cause a wedge in your family, but with relationships with the kids. And again, stay away from having the kids be involved in any kind of competition like that. But I would say for married couples, it's okay to have a favorite mom and a favorite dad, because there's only one of each.
So yeah, competing over children's affection, also competing over image.
Oh, weigh in on that.
Well, trying to, okay, I am the cool one. I'm the better spouse. I'm the spouse, you know, thinking that I am superior to my spouse in some way, or competing over who's going to put forth the best image to children, to parents, to in-laws, to neighbors. Try to say, oh, I'm the most liked person in our relationship. That's just going to create resentment.
Sure.
So definitely those are some things that, other things that are difficult. It's just, you want to make sure that any competition, it's something that you're working towards something to be better, that's going to bring you closer together. But anything that you're going to compete with each other, that's going to make the other feel less than at the end of the process, is always going to be unhealthy for your relationship.
That's very, very true. And just like with the trash talking in a mean way, it's important to agree about what things are off limits for a kind of competition for something there. Because if you have a spouse who is more sensitive, I know that the word sensitive can carry some different baggage in our pop culture these days, but it's more of the idea of deciding, you know, what's something that could be off limits. Because if your spouse has a particular sensitivity to something where it really riles them up for competition in a negative way, I would say for me, board games, that I don't know that it's arisen to that level, but it's something where it's like, yeah, I'd just rather not do that, because that's not a fun activity for me because of how competitive I can be.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect example. Other things could be, you know, for instance, if there's something about keeping house that you feel is like tied to identity, or different aspects that are tied to who you are, or it's just going to make you feel like less than because you lost to your spouse, don't compete in that.
Sure.
You know, so there's plenty of things out there to compete with without finding things that are going to make you feel like less than, or it's tied to your identity. Now, obviously, our identity should be in Christ, First Christ alone, but there are certain things that you're wrestling with that, and it's okay to say, hey, this makes me feel bad when we're competitive in this and we're talking about this, so we're going to leave this out.
Yeah, and I know even sometimes people can be sensitive about, you know, their professional sports teams or their college sports teams, and that can be a button that you don't want your spouse to push, especially if your spouse is from a different school, different state kind of background and things like that.
Oh, college athletics, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our big one here in Michigan, of course, is Michigan and Michigan State, or Michigan and Ohio State, you know, that nasty school down south. But it's just a thing where people can get really rallied up about it. But I always say, you know, Michigan, Michigan State, you know, we can mutually cheer for the Red Wings and the Detroit Lions and Pistons, give me something, because we'd love to cheer for you too.
prioritize your relationship over your competition.
Oh, I think that's across the board. It has to be, right?
It has to be. But that's where people get into trouble a lot of times with competition, because especially those of us who are competitive in nature, those who it's like want to win, we can get overwhelmed in those moments and make the competition more important. And that again goes back to letting go of your ego and all those things we've talked about. But the goal of competition, you hear this time and time again from us, the goal is to become closer, you know? And so would you rather win at basketball or would you rather be close with your spouse?
I know what my answer is. I'd rather be closer with my spouse, right?
So those things, you need to prioritize your relationship over competition. And remember, when we look at Philippians, it says that our attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus, and thinking of others is better than ourselves. So it's okay to be competitive, but what we want to see in competition is pushing each other to be better, not holding the other one down so that I can win.
And I think another thing, my peeps out there, we talk about, you know, being task-oriented or being people-oriented. So my peeps out there who are more task-oriented like I am, the task, my friend, is not to win. The task is to honor your spouse. The task is to be loving towards your spouse. The task there is to be more people-oriented in this, because winning isn't everything. Winning is not the only thing. The thing that you need to be focused on instead is to be growing in that oneness with your spouse and supporting your spouse.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with healthy competition. You know, competition pushes us to be better. Competing with your spouse over the right things can bring joy, makes marriage more fun, and you can push each other to meet and exceed your goals. Never use competition as a way to make your spouse feel less than. Never put yourself in a situation where your spouse is not going to feel up to par because of competition. When competing, be sure, let go of your ego, celebrate your spouse when they win, and be a gracious winner when you win.
Thank you for joining us on the Operation Thriving Marriage podcast. You can reach out to us on our website, operationthrivingmarriage.com, and also through Facebook at Operation Thriving Marriage, and tell a friend about our podcast to get the word out. We'll see you next time.
Jen and I started Operation Thriving Marriage to help couples and churches take marriages from merely surviving to thriving. We've got our book, we've got a blog, and resources for our coaching ministry, and you can bring us out for an Operation Thriving Marriage experience. For more information, go to OperationThrivingMarriage.com. That's OperationThrivingMarriage.com.